National Weather Service tornado warnings in my area until
fun.
5 p.m. So we're all going to be here for it. We'll see what happens.
Love that. Love that for you. So tonight, Brandon and I are making, this is kind of relevant to what we're talking about. Have you seen this TikTok feta tomato pasta?
Get out of here. I've been making that since I was in like eighth grade. People are just now like,
is it good?
Yeah, it's good. Anything with fucking feta is great.
Yeah, that's true. I just was like, I can't keep watching these videos. I'm not trying it. So I'm going to make it.
Well, I am making chicken noodle soup right now and it's on the stove.
Yum. Go ahead.
I was going to say shout out to my girl, Sage. She might get to taste it this weekend. She's staying with me Friday and Saturday.
That's so exciting. Mm-hmm. Oh, so fun. So fun. Love that. So, I mean, good for us. We're both eating noodles with our dinner. Because that's what we feel like fucking eating. And that's kind of the whole idea behind anti-dieting. I kind of started doing this at the beginning of the year, actually, without even really knowing like what I was doing. Pretty much like after the new year, I just was like, fuck everything. I'm just going to do what I want. Like that was my mentality. Like when it came to like food and exercise, and I was like, I'm just going to do what I want. I hate exercising. Let me start. I hate it, but I like how I feel mentally when I exercise regularly. So I told myself, I'm just going to kind of eat what I want to fucking eat and I don't care. And then I'm going to walk every day during my lunch break, like at least 2 miles. Sometimes I do about 2.5, sometimes 3 if I'm really feeling crazy. But that was my kind of like vision for how I was gonna like tackle going into 2021, because mind, I like was unemployed for 5 months last year, literally ate so many freaking Doritos. It's not even fun. Spicy sweet chili Doritos, like,
oh my god,
were stained orange for weeks, I feel like, because I didn't eat so many of them.
You shouldn't even feel bad about it.
That's the thing though, I do not feel bad about it. The weight that I gained in 2020 is straight up Doritos, and I have no regrets. Not a single Dorito do I regret. Like, I'm proud of it. I'm proud of these extra pounds. I got through 2020 healthy. I didn't get COVID. I didn't get sick. I got a new fucking job.
You did.
And so many people aren't that lucky. And so, yeah, I don't give a fuck that I have a slightly larger gravitational pull than I did last year.
It's just, and we're just investing in dad ass.
That's what Brandon said. And so, yeah, I mean, but I thought about this in the end of last year and kind of going into 2021, because I was thinking back about, I don't even know if I've told you this, but like getting in shape for my wedding, and I had a goal weight, like going into the wedding, and I like worked out a lot and I ate super, super healthy. And I will say, I liked how I felt working out and eating the way that I did, because I wasn't super restrictive with it. I wasn't starving myself. I hate the feeling of being hungry. So I was like never hungry. But I just made really, really healthy choices. I did cut sodium out like 6 to 8 weeks before the wedding. And I probably dropped an extra, like, honest to God, I think like 10 pounds of water weight just from like cutting out extra salt. So any weight that I gained in 2020, I'm grading with a curve because I'm eating salt again. So, when I weighed myself like a few days before our wedding, I was 3 pounds from my goal weight. And I remember it was a thing I thought about so much the week of the
wedding.
Yes. Like it bothered me. I was like, I was so fucking close to getting to my goal weight. I was 3 pounds.
You have a very competitive personality as well. And I feel like you get competitive with yourself.
So, I get competitive with myself. That's what I was going to say. Like, I'm not competitive with other people.
Right.
I'm terrible at team sports, but yes, I am. When it comes to myself, I'm very competitive. So maybe that was an element of it, but it was something I thought about a lot and it kind of bothered me. And then we got our wedding photos back and I saw how I looked in the pictures and I was like,
honestly, an angel without a halo. Like, I don't even know.
But like, why did I care about the 3 pounds?
I don't know.
And it kind of made me realize, like, who gives a shit,
right,
about those 3 pounds? Who gives a shit about 5 pounds? Who gives a shit about 10 pounds? Like, if you feel good, that is all that should matter. Right? That's kind of what this whole anti-dieting thing, I mean, that's sort of like a personal anecdote, but then like as an overall overarching theme, like that's kind of what anti-dieting is all about. And it's really also could be interchangeably used with like intuitive eating.
Yes.
We'll get into a little bit more of what that means, but Elizabeth, have you ever done a diet?
Oh yeah. You've been there when I've done diets. I grew up in a family where like all of the women in my family were constantly on a different diet, like all the time.
Really? So, I didn't know.
Oh yeah.
That.
Yep. So I grew up around like my mom was constantly on Weight Watchers, or she was like, my dad does like the cabbage soup diet.
I think you and I did that one in college once.
No, I don't even think we like did the diet. I think we just like didn't have food and went to my dad's house and got what like stole shit out of the fridge, and it was the cabbage soup, and we were like, what is this? No, I mean, I haven't ever done like a like Atkins diet, South Beach diet. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never done anything like that. What I have done though has been like adjusting my eating, but I have done it in a negative way where like I've just gone too far and it never like works out. I haven't ever done, like I said, I've never done like the Weight Watchers diet. And I'm not saying that those are necessarily bad. If you go to like a nutritionist or a doctor or something and they're like, hey, let's get you kickstarted to where you need to be so you can start progressing in a certain direction. Like, if that's something that a medical professional is instructing you to do, I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I just have never done a diet like that. I have only ever done things where like I'll knock down calories per meal by a certain amount if I have a certain goal. And typically my goal isn't like, I want to see a number on a scale. My goal is like, I want to get back into my jeans from 4 years ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it's more so about how I feel and how I look at myself in the mirror. I don't like getting on a scale because for me, a lot of times it's discouraging because mm-hmm. I'm like, holy shit, I'm doing so good. Like, I've, you know, upped my protein, my carbs are down. I'm still eating the same amount of calories that I should be eating in the day. I'm just getting more nutrients. I'm drinking more water. And then I get on the scale and it's like, oh, you know? Right. So for me, that's not very motivating. For some people, it is really motivating. I have a few friends that they're like, holy shit, I'm doing so good, you know, mm-hmm. but it just depends on the personality type, I guess.
Well, I mean, so the whole anti-dieting movement is kind of based on this idea that there's this idea in our culture of a value being placed with thinness and thinness being placed with healthiness. And those things aren't always, I mean, we shouldn't see thin as valuable and non-thin as not valuable, first of all. And I think it's sort of about like the idea that diet culture perpetuates that idea, right? And then secondly, you can be very healthy and not be thin. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's not sugarcoat it. Ashley Graham would not tell you she's thin, but she's super freaking healthy. Lizzo is vegan and can run more miles on a treadmill than I can. She is a beautiful, curvy woman, right?
Right.
So like,
but also extremely healthy. It's just,
I mean, I'm way less healthy than both of them put together, mm-hmm. like hands freaking down. So it's kind of like looking at it that way and like rejecting the ideas of thin equals beautiful equals healthy. Like, yes, those things can go together, but they're not exclusive. You can be curvy and thick and healthy and beautiful too. And I think society as a whole is trying to get better about that, but the diet culture goes directly against that. And as far as like anti-dieting, it kind of really what it's talking about is intuitive eating. And I don't know if you knew this, but when we're babies, we eat intuitively automatically. So like babies eat when they're hungry and stop when they're full, which is weird to think about. I don't ever remember a time in my life when I would do that, but I have a funny story. my friend has a, she just turned two in the end of January. And when she was little, she was probably like 10 months. She was into Cheerios, and maybe she was 11 months, not 10 or 11 months. She was into Cheerios. So I put some Cheerios on a little plate for her, and she went to go eat them, and she, you know, ate all of them. And I looked at her mom and I said, can I give her some more? And she goes, oh yeah, you can give her as many as you want. She'll stop eating when she's full. And I, my face, I was like, wow, like what? Good for her. And it was so funny, but seriously, like our natural, like nature, we've got nature and nurture. Our natural being is eat when you're hungry, stop when you're full. And somewhere along the line, we lose that.
Yep.
Well, most people lose it. Probably not everybody, but most people do. So intuitive eating is about getting back in touch with that, getting back in touch with your body. And there's 10 principles of intuitive eating. So the first one is reject the diet mentality. So we kind of talked about that a little bit. And that kind of goes hand in hand too of like, it, diet culture kind of perpetuates, you'll be more beautiful, more value, better when you lose your weight. And then if you fail at this diet or this diet doesn't work for you, you feel badly about yourself. Or if you gain the weight back, you feel badly about yourself. And we'll talk a little bit about that too, about why diets, according to science, may not work. But we already did sort of talk about that. The second one is honoring your hunger. So eat when you're hungry, basically. I mean, and I think that's something that a lot of people, when they're dieting or they're, I hear friends I know like, oh, like when I, you know, I'm trying to like eat healthy and work out, but then when I work out, I get so hungry and it's hard. And so intuitive eating would say, okay, then eat.
Right.
If you worked out and then you got hungry, eat something. The third principle of intuitive eating is to make peace with food. So it says, give yourself unconditional permission to eat and to eat whatever you want. Don't tell yourself you can or can't have a particular food. It can make you feel deprived of that food. It can give you uncontrollable cravings. And then you end up basically binging and giving into that food that you wanted to eat. According to intuitive eating, in theory, if you go on a 10-mile run and you want to go home and eat a handful of Doritos or Oreos or whatever, you should do that. But I'll get back to that in a second. So hold on to that thought. But it's really about listen to what you feel like eating, eat what you feel like, and avoid the guilt or the binge that happens when you deprive yourself of the food that you want to eat. And then the fourth principle is challenging the food police. So it kind of goes hand in hand with the last one, but basically reject the idea that there are good foods and bad foods. You're not bad because you ate a piece of chocolate cake. You're not necessarily good because you ate a salad. Like all food is just food. Yeah. And you should eat food and you should enjoy it. So the fifth one is discovering the satisfaction factor. So something that was interesting about this, I guess there's an idea in Japanese culture that you eat until you're 80% full and then you stop. Because as you're eating,
I don't even know what 80% full feels like.
I mean, I would say
I'm either starving or I'm full.
Really? So maybe you need to eat slower.
Maybe. I mean, I don't eat that fast.
Well, maybe you're already eating to 80% full. Maybe. See, because I'm someone that will eat till I'm uncomfortably full. Like a lot. So for me, like I'm hungry and I'm eating. And then when I start to feel less hungry, I'll stop eating and I'll take a break. It's okay if we take a pause on our dinner and then we have to go back for more later if we are still hungry. But the idea of really listening to your body and being intuitive with the signals your body is giving you. So when your body starts to say, this is enough, you're getting full, to actually stop eating. And for me, that step number five would be the hardest. It's been the hardest, truly. And they kind of say that you should really focus on what you're eating. So like try not to eat while you watch TV or a movie, which I'm bad about.
Yes.
Be present while you're eating and really enjoy your food. There's this whole like, have you ever just eaten like while you're watching TV or a movie? Like maybe you were hungry and you sat in the front of the TV and you ate your food. And then when you're kind of finished, you're like, that wasn't even that good. Yes.
So, no. I mean,
for me, it's like, if it's not worth eating, you know, you want to eat foods that are delicious to you.
Yeah. So my example would be like with me and Matt, we have shows we watch. If we don't eat at the dinner table, we eat at the sofa, which is, to be honest, most nights. I mean, we have shows that we put on as like background noise. We don't like watch something that we're like focused on, or like a show like that we're in the middle of. You know, we'll watch something like Schitt's Creek that we've seen 7,000 times just to have something on, but like we'll still like talk to each other and we'll eat and we'll enjoy what we're eating.
Oh, see, I would say I enjoy my food most of the time. We do watch TV while we eat. We usually like, Brandon will get home from work and we'll talk while I finish cooking and, you know, whatever. And then we'll sit down, and he's got a really rough job. So usually if it's a day that he's worked, he likes some quiet time.
Yeah.
Which I understand. But yeah, it's kind of just about like listening to your body and, you know, eat what you want in an environment that's nice. I'm weird about, I have to eat in, like, I have to clean the living room or like the dining room or whatever room we're eating in has to be like clean. I like to light a candle. I am good about that. About yeah, like really same. Enjoying the entire experience anytime that you're eating, you know, if you can. The sixth one is feel your fullness. So this also kind of layers, most of these steps kind of layer on top of the previous steps. But this one says, trust that you'll give yourself the foods that you want to eat, and then listen to your body's signals that tell you that you're no longer hungry. A good tip for doing this too is pausing in the middle of your eating and asking yourself, you know, is what I'm eating good? Am I enjoying what I'm eating? How hungry am I still? Half of my food is gone, and kind of like almost check in with yourself to see, do I want to keep eating? Do I want to keep eating this? Should I eat something else? Just because I have these potatoes on my plate, they don't have much flavor. Maybe I'd rather have more of this other thing that we made, you know, really enjoying every part of the food that you're eating and not making yourself eat something that you don't really want to eat.
Do you guys go to Costco?
I used to go to Costco once a month. I haven't been since COVID.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we used to go to Costco and we would get all of our meats at Costco.
Yeah.
At the beginning of the month. The meat chubs.
Yeah.
Do you guys get meat chubs? Or beef chubs? The ground beef chubs from Costco are like,
I don't know what you're saying.
It is a pound of ground meat. It's 5 pounds of ground meat, but each
separated
into these little like tubes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You've never noticed what they ring up as? Next time you go to Costco. Be
completely honest, that is not my domain. Okay. That is all Matthew. I get too much anxiety when I go into Costco. If I go with him, my job is to put my hand on the cart and just walk.
Okay. First of all, you sound like a 7-year-old. I think your mom used to tell you the same thing. Second of all, the next time you guys get the ground meat, you need to look at it rigged up as beef chub. And so Brandon and I died laughing the first time we bought it. And then I was telling my sister this story. She starts shitting on the beef chub. She's like, that's disgusting. I was like, it's really not. Like, it's fine.
Jennifer, get over yourself.
She Googles it. And it was on some like mommy blog that it was like hidden gem. Costco's like ground like beef chubs. And she was like, oh, well, I guess it is good. Cause it's like, it's good quality meat. It's just like Costco brand. And that's just, it's cheap because of how they package it. Yeah. It doesn't look appealing coming out of the tube, but it tastes fine.
I mean, neither does the meat at Taco Bell, but you know what? I'm still going to put it in my mouth. I'm
still going to put it in my mouth. Absolutely. Every time. So step number 7 for the intuitive eating is cope your emotions with kindness. This is my Everest because I'm just going to read what this says. It says, recognize that food restriction, both physically and mentally, can in and of itself trigger loss of control, which can feel like emotional eating. Find ways to comfort, nurture, and distract and resolve your issues outside of food. I have a problem with this. Anxiety, loneliness, boredom, and anger are emotions we experience throughout life. Each has its own trigger, each its own appeasement. Food won't fix these things. I need to just write this on my wall. Will you come paint me a mural in my bedroom?
I will.
Well, essentially, step number 7 is don't eat your feelings, which I mean, I'm just saying that's probably the one that I would struggle with the most. And I think a lot of people do. And it's kind of saying, learn how to deal with your emotions in ways that aren't food. I mean, sure, if you feel like eating Oreos, eat Oreos, but don't do it because you're sad. Don't do it because you're anxious. You actually have to deal with life's emotions outside of eating sugary, fatty foods that might give you a temporary high from the sugar or the fat or whatever's. And then that makes your body, your brain go, ooh, like I feel good now. Because ultimately in the long run, those negative emotions are still going to be there. You still have to deal with them.
Yeah.
And then step number 8 is respect your body. So basically everybody has sort of a genetic blueprint of what their natural body type or size would be. So just basically respect your body's blueprint, respect your natural figure. Don't be unrealistic and overly critical of your size and your shape, and give yourself dignity and love your body no matter what. And then number 9, just get up and move. It's you don't have to do, you know, P90X if you don't feel like it, but basically just move more often. For me, it's walking a couple miles a day on my lunch break. Don't worry or overthink too much about the calories you're burning. Just think about how you feel after you're working out, while you're working out. Do you have more energy? Are you more motivated to eat healthy foods? I do find that when I am more active, I'm more motivated to eat healthier foods. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it has a positive, maybe the endorphins from the exercise have a positive impact on my mood and therefore make me less likely to reach for those sugary, fatty foods, you know, that I would crave otherwise. But basically, you know, this is an intuitive eating, anti-dieting mindset, but it doesn't mean treat your body like trash. It's quite the opposite. It's treat your body nicely. And then number 10, the last one, is honor your health with gentle nutrition. So you want to make sure that you make food choices that taste good, that honor your taste buds, right? But that also honor your health. So intuitive eating and anti-dieting is not about, it's eat what you want, but you can't eat whatever you want and also honor your body at the same time. Usually that doesn't really work. So you don't have to eat perfectly all the time. You can give yourself permission to have the Oreos, give yourself permission to have the Doritos, the piece of cake. You're not going to become unhealthy from one bad snack or one bad meal or one bad day of eating even, or even one bad week of eating in the grand scheme of life, but it's consistently eating nutritious foods over time. The vast majority of the time is very important. And I wanted to point out something else that's kind of interesting. Something I have noticed since I've started doing this, because I'm about 2 months in. And as I have started to try to really listen to my body, how is my body responding to the foods that I ate? I'm grabbing for those junk foods less and those processed foods less because I feel crappy after I eat them. And yeah, sure, I give myself permission to eat an entire sleeve of Thin Mints, but after I do it, I don't feel great, you know, for an hour or so. And when you shift your focus on wanting to honor your body and wanting to feel good and focusing on the cause and effect of what you eat and how you feel, and when that becomes important to you, you no longer want to reach for those things. So even though you have permission to do it, it kind of naturally takes care of itself, that idea that you're just going to eat shitty food all the time. If that even makes sense.
What's your like weakness? Like you dropped Doritos and Thin Mints. What's your go-to?
Well, I don't know that I really have one anymore, to be honest. I mean, I would say I would have used to say like anything carby or like bread or, you know, pizza, pastas, we're having pasta for dinner. But that's the thing. I don't feel bad and don't care. What's your weakness?
A lot of things. I just have a lot of favorites.
But I think the idea of this too is like, get like, do you feel guilty after you eat the things that you like?
Not if I have respected my body.
And that's the whole point. But even you calling it like a weakness, that kind of attributes it to a bad food category. You do a good job of giving yourself permission to eat the things that you want. So you're probably not the best example because you're very balanced in the way that you eat. That's one strength that you have. Like you are, because you exercise a lot, but you've always done that. And that's just something that you do because you like it. You grew up dancing before and after school. You are highly active for 4 hours a day, minimum, sometimes five.
Yeah.
Or six, depending on how many different types of dance you were studying at that time. And then we went through college and then you weren't as active. And I remember it bothered you how inactive mm-hmm. you were, and you've gotten back into it now. You wake up early, you go to the gym, you do this crazy Australian hammer exercise, whatever it is, but you do it because you enjoy it. You do it because it makes you feel good. And that's your natural, like, you don't feel like you're pushing yourself to do it because you feel like you have to. You are doing it because you want to.
And like, for example, last night we had dinner with Matt's mom, and we ate, like, there was like seafood, there was macaroni, there was whatever, and we had cookie cake after. Like, I let myself eat, like, I ate what I wanted to eat, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And I didn't work out yesterday, but then I woke up this morning and I worked out, and tonight I'm gonna have an ice cream sandwich because I don't give a fuck. Like, it's just,
you're good about it. I think when I say like good foods and bad foods, it's not about, I'm not talking about the nutritional, I'm talking about moral.
Like,
when you're like, what's your weakness, it sort of ties that, like, you're being bad when you eat that.
I see what you're saying. Weak.
So like, it's you're not bad or good because you eat a certain thing. There's factual nutrition to the foods that we eat, right? And some are healthier or less healthy, but good or bad, to kind of like reject that idea. And I think the ultimate goal of doing this is to have better mental health, to have better confidence and accept your body how it is, and to create enough confidence and resilience too, to like be able to hear other people talk about their own journey, their own body, their own insecurities, and have it not affect you. Because I think for me, I don't feel this way, but I think women, and especially young women, like high school, early college, you know, I feel like maybe I'm sure I ran into this like in college, you know, you see women that are thinner than you are, and then they're complaining about their weight, it starts to make you go, well, gosh, I guess I should, you know, maybe I need to eat less. You know, if they're thinking they look bad, what do they think about me? And the idea of intuitive eating and honoring your body and giving yourself permission and being active and all these things will hopefully give you the confidence to just sort of, if somebody says that, and you're, you know, you wouldn't say this to their face, but in your head, just be like, well, I like my body, I'm going to go get another cookie, you know?
Right.
And you kind of be able to live that way, because you have to respect other people's opinions about their own bodies and their own struggles. You can't live in a world to, like,
separate it from the insecurities that they have versus insecurities that you might not have.
Exactly. And being able to understand that other people might be insecure, and that's okay. That's them. Yeah. It's not you. And also, it's, you got to be able to respect other people's opinions. So there's going to be people that hate this and that say, that's dumb, and this works for me. And I, you know, and here's the thing. I hear a lot of great things about Weight Watchers. Weight Watchers is essentially like, I don't even know, I guess it is calorie restriction, but
it's more nutritional based than it is
calorie based.
It's closer, those
two things can go hand in hand together.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, kind of closer to like counting, my understanding is that it's closer to like counting your macros than it is closer to counting calories.
Yeah. I just think that you can't get mad at other people because they want to diet or like what they want to do, or you can't make that let you feel weird. And if you kind of go with these 10 principles and this mindset, and you have more confidence and you're feeling good about yourself, then you won't. You'll naturally just be able to hear that and it'll kind of go in one ear, not the other, you know?
Yeah.
It won't affect you as much. Did you do any reading about why diets don't work, like science wise?
I didn't read stuff. I listened to different podcasts, and essentially it all kind of boils down to the same thing. And correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that it might work while you're on it, but you're not going to be changing your body's chemistry by dieting. And when you're done dieting and you go back to eating like a normal human being, you are setting your body up for failure for future.
Yeah. So basically when we were talking about your body's like genetic blueprint and like the natural body type that you're meant to have, that's woven into your DNA, and your body is wired to maintain that, whatever that is, naturally without outside factors, right? Like you can obviously work out or eat less or whatever to change your body, eat more to change your body, but there's sort of a natural equilibrium that your body is meant to sit at different ages, phases of your life, whatever, based on your genes. So every single person, their body might be a little different. Like, okay. And I know like, if you look at the back of a box, it says like, this is based off a 2000 calorie diet. That right. I think is actually pretty high for most people.
Mm-hmm.
And you would need to speak to a doctor nutritionist for them to tell you that, you know, what your probable sort of like break even, you know, calorie amount would be in any given day. However, most diets, whether they say they do or not, restrict calories in some way. And what happens is you're going to restrict the calories that you're eating, and your body is going to go into starvation mode, basically, to lose that weight. And then your threshold for maintenance is going to be lowered, because your body's like, oh, wow, there's a scarcity of food. Okay, so we need to be maintaining the natural, you know, blueprint of the body type, this natural body. We need less calories now to maintain that, because I guess there's no food. Like if you think about it, like as a cave woman or like a caveman, right? Like yeah. This is like all like, and this, I wish I could find the name. I'll have to find the name of the source for where I read this, and we'll post it in the show notes. But basically like lowering the level of calories required to like maintain your body. And then when you go, like you said, when you go back to eating normally, you're going to gain more weight back, because now you're in a calorie excess. So it's this idea then that you've gained more weight back, and then you might try a different diet or maybe go back to that same diet. And this is kind of what they call yo-yo dieting. So I don't know how true that is. It makes sense. But basically over time, it's called metabolic adaption. And over time, you would actually gain more weight.
I currently am, I wouldn't say that I'm on a diet, but I'm just being very like mindful of the things that I'm eating going into the wedding. Right.
But I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I did that too.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't regret, I don't want anyone to be confused. I don't regret how I treated my body prior to my wedding. I ate when I was hungry. I probably ate when I wasn't hungry. I ate very healthy, and I worked out a lot, and I hated every second of the exercise. Now it was worth it. I looked amazing, but I'll never do it again. I don't care now. Like, I'm like, whatever. Ultimately, long-term, that does not make me happy. I'll just go out there and walk every day, and that's fine. That's what works for me. But I think the idea of intuitive eating is like, you're not doing it for weight loss. You might lose weight from it. You might not, but you accept your body as it is, in the present, no matter what happens. You know, it's like you lose weight, you don't lose weight, whatever, you feel good.
I think it's a really interesting topic because I think it's, like I said, I mean, I grew up in a household where it was normal to be on a diet. So.
Yeah. And I mean, if a diet works for you and like, that's what you like, and that's what you want to do, live your freaking life, like be loud, be proud with it. Like, I don't think that there's a problem with someone doing a diet. I think that the anti-dieting movement, so to speak, is about kind of getting out the message that this isn't the only way. I think a lot of times, like, just like you said, you grew up in a family where the women in your family were always on a diet. And it's kind of that idea that like, this is just what women do. This is just the way. And sort of focusing on intuitive eating and anti-dieting is like, no, that's not the only way. You right. don't always have to be doing that. You don't always have to be on a diet. You don't always have to be thinking about your weight or thinking about losing weight. It doesn't have to be something that you care about. If somebody else cares about it, that's fine. That's on them. But it does not have to be for everyone. And I think that's kind of the bottom line. I feel like I have way more interesting things to talk about than weight. Chris Harrison's a racist. Let's talk about that. I'm just kidding. Kidding. Oh my God. I have actually talked about that with my friends so much this week. I could just rip my ears off. But yeah, I mean, there's just other shit going on that we could all be talking about, I think.
Well, I'm going to finish that video of Chris Harrison being a racist.
Yeah, you should do that. It's really something else.
Follow us on Instagram at Spaghetti Heads Podcast. Follow us on Twitter at @spaghetti_heads. Send your embarrassing stories to spaghettiheadspodcast@outlook.com. And
I think that's it. I'm going to go enjoy some carbs.
Ooh.
Not feel bad about it.
I'm going to go stir my soup.
Do it.
Cheers.
Cheers.